Well, good morning, Ocean View Community Church. I know, surprise, here I am. You thought maybe you'd have a week without the pastor, but nope, here I am. Honestly, it is great to be able to give a word today to you. Something was on my heart. I did try to reach out to a few people to see if they'd preach, and then I just had something that I wanted to share. So I thought, hey, why not just try something different? And I would give a message and video it, and here you go. You can hear it. So, but let me start off by saying this to the mothers that are here: Happy Mother's Day to you. And in so doing, I wanted to begin my message with just a small little blessing to you as moms. So it goes something like this: May the God who sees you in every quiet sacrifice and hidden act of love fill your heart with deep joy today. May your hands that have given you so much be strengthened with peace and rest. May you know beyond words that your love has and is shaping lives, and your faith has planted seeds that will bear fruit for generations. Amen. Well, this morning I want to share with you a message that I said has been on my heart, and I'll start off with this way. I'd said yes to something, but deep down in the recesses of my brain, I was telling myself, I can't. I remember I was chiding myself and saying, why did I say yes? So what did I say yes to? Well, I'd said yes to going caving or skerplunking with my son. I like to think that I can handle tight spaces. Really, honestly, in my head, I think I can. But the truth is, I'm really not a fan. And I'm also the type of person that if I say I'm going to do something, and I commit to something, I want to follow through. I don't want to fail at it. And if my yes is a yes, I want it to be a yes. And I didn't want to get deep down into that ground and then have to tell my son I can't go any further. Or I didn't want to get stuck in a tight spot and have search and rescue come try to figure out how to get me out. However, not only did I complete it, but I would do it again if I had the opportunity. And I'm glad I didn't allow my thinking that I couldn't do something to get in the way of actually doing something. And I want to talk to you about engaging in a spiritual practice that some are going to go, no way, I've tried that and I can't do it. Some of you even suggesting it, there's emotions that rise up for you because maybe even your experience of doing this in church was not good. Some of you don't believe you have the ability to do this, but what I would say and I would hope is that you would give it a try, either for the first time or you would retry it again. Because I honestly believe that if you try this, that you will say, I'll do it again. So what am I talking about? Are you ready for this? I'm talking about memorization. Now, I know I probably already lost half the room here. You're glazed over and you say, well, okay, Scott is really not here, so I can get up and I can leave and he'll never know. And that's true. I'll never know if you got up and left or not. But I would ask you, just hang on and hear me out where I'm going. Because I think at the end, what I would encourage you to do is not what you think I'm going to ask you to do, okay? So here we go. A little bit of a teaser there, hopefully to get you to stick around. Now, Joshua 1, 5 through 9 was read. And I want us to look at a little bit of the character of Joshua and what was happening. Because for Joshua, he stands on the edge of the unknown. Moses is gone, so he doesn't even have him to refer to and say, hey, Mose, what do you think? Well, what should I do here? The weight of leading is real. I think he must have gone to God because God comes to him and you hear these words that God says to him. But what does God give him? Well, he doesn't give him a strategy. He doesn't give him a five-year plan. He barely gives him what he needs to do next. What he gives him is his word. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Verse 8. Now, let's just talk a little bit about the word meditate for a second. To meditate is to mutter, is to murmur, is to speak softly under your breath. And in case you're wondering what that looks like, well, you probably did it as a teenager. You probably heard your teenager do it. If you're married, you've either done it or you've heard your spouse do it. Okay, so you kind of get the idea, that constant murmuring or under your breath. But when we think of it on the positive side, on the redemptive side, okay, the redemptive side is that we are carrying with us and repeating Scripture, allowing it to echo into our minds, and it affects our inner being. So to try to take this and pull it apart a little bit this morning, I have three points that I want to make regarding memorization from this passage here. First is this, is that memorization anchors us in God's presence. Right at the beginning of verse 5, it says, I will be with you. I will never leave you. Before the command to meditate comes, the promise of God's presence is given. But here's the reality. We don't always feel God's presence, correct? I've said before, I've given you the quote before that says, it is not God's presence that is the issue. It is our awareness of God's presence. And so it's true. There are times we don't feel God's presence. We do drift. We forget. We get pulled away by the noise of the world. And what memorization is memorization becomes the tether. When the word lives in you, God's voice is never far from you. At one of the churches I pastored, we took a parking lot and we filled it with all these different blow-up bouncy toys. And one of the ones that we had was you were put on a Velcro suit that then had a bungee cord to attach to it. And you ran down, and you competed with the next person, and you tried to run down the fastest you can and then stick yourself to the end of the wall. Well, for the young kids, it was really hard because that bungee cord would pull them back. They were tethered back to the starting point. And that's really what I want us to see, that what memorization does is that memorizing Scripture is that tether. It tethers us. It pulls us back into the true reality, into God's kingdom and the kingdom living. Think with me about what God has given us and the instructions He has given us in Scripture. We have Deuteronomy 6:6-7. There it says, these words, God's word, shall be in your heart. And then it tells us to take those words, to take the Scriptures, to take the law, and to impart them to our children. Or you have Psalm 16:8. It says, I have set the Lord always before me. So here you have what is before you. There's so much that is before us. The world is before us. And here the psalmist says, but I put you before me, God. I'm going towards you. Or Colossians 3:16, perhaps one of my most favorite verses when it comes to God's word. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. For something to dwell in you, it means it needs to be a part of you. So much so, the dwell is actually to make its home in you. We need to make Scripture, we need to make room for Scripture to make its home in us. It's not a casual glancing at God's word. This is not what it's talking about. To have God's word richly dwell in us is to allow it to become deep rooted in our hearts. I forgot my compass. I had a compass. I actually had a compass I was going to show you. But remember the days of carrying compasses around. And you have a compass in your pocket. And you may not always need to look at it. But when you do, it reorientates everything. today, because we have our cell phones, we don't necessarily have that image, but God's word reorientates us back to what is true. Second point. My second point is this: meditation forms our inner life. So Joshua is told, meditate on this scripture day and night. Joshua 1:8. See, memorization leads to meditation. We are always being formed by something. We're being formed by the news, we're being formed by social feeds, by fear, by hurry. Meditating on scripture is not just information, it is formation. What you repeatedly think about, you will slowly become shaped by. And it is true. It is so true. Think of Psalm 1, 1 and 3. Here it says, the one who meditates is like a tree planted by the stream. That tree is able to grow, to have leaves that never fall off, to bear fruit. It is able to do that because it is planted next to a stream. It's like it's meditating on that stream, on the nutrients that its roots have gone into, and it becomes what it was meant to be, a tree. Or you have Psalm 119 verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, people come to me and they say, Scott, I'm just struggling with this sin. I just can't seem to get rid of it. And I'll say, well, what scriptures do you have? What scriptures do you have to use to fight against that? And we'll come to that in a moment when it comes to Jesus. And they'll say, well, I don't have any. So we'll begin to look at some scripture. And I'll say, this scripture here, if you can get this into your head and you can memorize this, I will guarantee you that scripture will reshape your thinking and you will find yourself not in the place of temptation as you have been. That's why Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what we renew our minds, what needs to be removed? We get rid of the old and we put in the new. The old is the world. The old is the voices that tell us to do and to be that are not Christ. And instead, we put in the voice of God who says you are enough, who says you are loved, who says that I am with you always. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take every thought captive. Well, how do we know what thoughts need? It says every thought, but what am I captivating that thought? I'm captivating what is not good and healthy and pure, and I'm captivating it so that I can dwell on what is good. Because that's what Philippians 4:8 says, right? Think about what is noble, what is true, what is right. I'm captivating what is not, and I am replacing it with what is true. See, memorization trains our minds to have something to dwell on or to meditate on, because you and I are always going to meditate or dwell on something. I found myself in recent weeks of falling asleep quoting scripture. This has helped me to sleep better, because I have found that I'm not dwelling on tomorrow, which tomorrow has enough worries of its own. I'm dwelling on God today. But here's what I find is, you know, Raina and I, we like to, when we go on vacation, we like to go and find places that we can walk, some coastal trails, some trail through the woods. And we're able to walk that path because it's not just that it's clearly marked with markings, but it's clearly marked because people have walked that path, had treaded the weeds out. There's no weeds, there's no grass, there's nothing but the marked trail that we are to be on. And it's because people have continued to go down that path again and again and again. And when you and I memorize, we will find that our default is to come back to that well-trodden path that says to us that God loves us, that says to us that he is the one that will bear fruit in our lives, that he forgives us, that he renews us, that he has a plan for us. These things keep returning to us. So let me return to my point where I said meditation shapes our inner life. That's what it does. We will meditate or dwell on something. You will. If you don't do it on scripture, you're going to do it in something else. It'll be the news. It'll be the world catastrophes that are out there. It'll be a coworker. It'll be your spouse. It'll be your children. You will dwell on something. And instead, if we have the scriptures in our head, it will be what we grab to the most. It is what is most accessible. It is what is at the top. You know, when I was a kid, my parents got milk from a farmer, and they got it in these 4-liter jars, and it would sit in the fridge, and it was Jersey cows. So you can imagine what happened. That cream rose to the top, and the milk would be here. And I would take a ladle and I would ladle out the cream and take a bowl of cornflakes and dump that cream right on my cornflakes with some sugar. There is nothing like cornflakes and pure cream. I couldn't do that today, but back then I could as a teenager. You see, in order to get to the milk, I had to go through the cream because it was at the top. And when you meditate on scripture, that is what happens. You and I find ourselves at reaching for him rather than reaching for worry or reaching for fear or reaching for control. Third point is this. Meditation strengthens us for courage, courageous living. It's at the end of this these set of verses, verse 9, let me back up. He says to him in verse 6, 7, and then in verse 9. So he says it at the end. So it's at the beginning and the end. He says to him, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Courage is not just a personality trait. It really is a formed response. And what do I mean by formed response? A formed response is a reaction that has been shaped over time. Not by personality, but by repeated, surrendered practice of truth, a lived experience with God. It is what comes out of a person without them having to think about it, because something deeper has already been built within them. That's what a formed response is. It comes out of that person without them really thinking about it, because that is what's deepest in them. It's what has been formed in them. I think about driving a vehicle, and I taught my oldest son how to drive a standard. I didn't teach my youngest son to drive a standard, and my oldest son has said he's a wimp. He really doesn't know how to drive. But that's beside the point. I'll let them fight that out. But I remember teaching him how to drive, and he was struggling to drive a standard. He's dyslexic like me, and if you're dyslexic, you understand. We really can't chew gum and talk at the same time, and then you're wanting us to walk too. So chew, talk, and walk at the same time, it's impossible. That's what it's like driving a car, is that you want me to use all four of my appendages. You want me to, and then my eyes too, my hand on the steering wheel, on the gear shift, on the brake, or the clutch, or the gas, and what in the world? And it's just like, I told my son, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go out to the car. You're not going to start it. And you're going to sit out there, and I want you to spend the next 30 minutes practicing shifting. And I said, even have some fun with it. Pretend that you are on a racetrack and you are shifting through those gears. I said, just shift right through them. And so he did out there practicing. You know, today he drives and he doesn't think about it. He makes all the shifts he needs to make and he doesn't think about it. See, why is that? Because he is so practiced how to drive, it just becomes part of him. we really wouldn't want to be in a car with somebody who was constantly having to think about how to drive, would we? Kind of like, let me drive. And this is why God ties Joshua's courage directly to his relationship with the Word. It's why he says, meditate on this Word day and night. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success, he tells him in Joshua 1:8. This is not worldly success, but faithful, God-aligned living. Think with me, Psalm 119, verse 28. God's Word strengthens the soul, it tells us. Or you think of Ephesians 6:17. It says, the Word is the sword of the Spirit. When you think about the armor of God, and this is in the context of doing battle, and you're putting the armor of God on, in this context of doing battle, and you think about that, and the one part of the armor you're putting on is you're taking hold of the sword, and it is the Word. The Word is the Spirit, is the sword of the Spirit. The Word is living and active. In Hebrews 4:12, 1 John 2:14 says, the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the world. So I think of Jesus, and that's probably the greatest example that we could ever have. He is tempted by Satan. And in this, what does he do? He gives back to Satan scripture. Where did he get that scripture? Well, he was a young boy, and he probably had memorized this scripture. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he didn't scroll for the truth. He spoke it because it was already within him. And when Satan used scripture to try to tempt him, Jesus corrected him with scripture. So today, I think, though, we are losing the art of knowing scripture. It's easier to Google it than it is to memorize it. And believe me, I'm not against it. I will Google a scripture that I cannot remember, which is fantastic, but it's not the same as when you have memorized it. Because when I'm in the heat of temptation, I'm not gonna go, oh, what's that scripture? Just a minute. Temptation, just a minute, Satan. Let's look up the scripture. Ain't gonna happen. It's gotta be something which comes from what I already know, because it has formed me. So what does a formed response work itself out in my life? Or how does a formed response work itself in my life? Well, what your heart does when pressure hits. See, how does your heart respond when there's pressure? And we see this, right? You can be all over here and feel, you know, you've got it under control and secure and everything. You can look good over here, but you get under pressure and you respond differently. Emotions come out, words come out, actions come out, all come out when we're under pressure. And if we want the right thing to come out, then it needs to be formed ahead of time. See, the instinct that rises. So what is the instinct that rises when fear comes knocking? Is it freeze? Is it flight? Or is it fight? and or is it to have peace? See, when we have God directly reworking our minds and reforming our minds, and we do that by allowing the Word of God to reform our minds, our instinct when fear comes, it's like, okay, this is not going to be easy, but God's got it. What about this? How does it formalize it? The reflex is shaped by what we've practiced in secret. See, that's how we know that we have been formed. What we've practiced over here in secret starts to come out when it's public. So how many times have you found yourself thinking you could have responded differently or better? You know, I really do like the practice of examine. a situation happens, I respond to my children in a certain way, and I look and I think, ooh, this isn't right. It's good to be able to pause and to examine at some point, why did I respond that way? Or it could be a coworker, it could be my spouse, it could be my friend. Why did I respond that way? And so examine is good. But I'll tell you, because in that, you can kind of get 20. We say, well, that hindsight is 20/20. But what if formed sight could be 20/20? What if we are so formed into the likeness of Christ that I am doing what Jesus would do if he were me, that really, in the immediate moment, it's 20/20? Why does it hindsight always get the benefit? Why not present 20/20 sight? And I believe it's possible when we are formed. And memorization gives us the ability not just to know what the future is, but it gives us the ability to live in the present in the 20/20 vision. See, it is a difference between reacting out of fear and responding out of formation. So am I going to react out of fear, or am I going to respond out of formation? So now, let me try to bring this together. I'll try to bring this to a close. Memorization is not about impressing other people. And I don't want it to be about that in this church. I want it to be about inhabiting a different reality. Because God's word presents a different way of living, a different reality. That's what Jesus, he was shocking. If you hate your enemies, you've murdered them. If you even think bad thoughts about you've murdered them. But he tells us to love our enemies and to forgive 72 times 7. So you get the picture that Jesus presents something different because we can live a different reality. It is a life where God's presence is near. Your mind is being reshaped. Your courage is being formed. So what if this week you didn't try to memorize anything? Okay? Matter of fact, I don't want you to memorize anything. I'll get to that in just a moment. But what if you just carried one verse? Literally, you carried it in your pocket. You looked at it, you read it, you repeated it, and you simply walked with it. No memory involved at all. Just let it be like a seed in your pocket. A seed isn't rushed. You cannot rush a seed to grow. It cannot be forced to grow. It just is present. And in time, in the right conditions, it grows, matures, and it brings forth fruit. So, I told you, I'm not going to ask you what you think. I'm not going to give you an invitation to what you think I'm going to give you an invitation to. My invitation is this. Yes, choose a verse. Something you already know, perhaps. Maybe an easy one, like Jesus wept. I believe that could speak to you. But write it down on a piece of paper. Then put it in your pocket, put it in your purse, put it in your wallet, tape it on your phone. Maybe it is your screen lock. But whatever it is, then look to repeat it. When you wake up in the morning, just look at it and just repeat that verse. Before you leave your house, just look at that verse and just repeat it. When you sit down for lunch, just look at that verse and repeat it. Sit down for dinner, look at that verse and repeat it. And then at night, just look at that verse and repeat it. And then you would ask yourself one question. The question you ask is, where is this becoming real in my life? That's it. I'm not asking you to memorize. Not yet. I'm just asking you to consider, would you write a verse down, put it in your pocket, and then look at it? Perhaps only 5 times a day, but maybe even if it's 1 or 2, maybe that's more than what you are already doing. If you are already memorizing scripture, I would just say to you, wonderful, amen. I would love to know, when I get back from Africa, please let me know if you're memorizing scripture. I would love to hear your story of memorizing scripture. See, the goal is not to memorize more scripture so you can get it into your head. The goal is this, is to let God, through his word, get deeper in your life. Yes, in a few weeks, I will introduce a few more thoughts on memorization, but this is what I wanted to give you today to ruminate on, to consider. One verse in your pocket, looking at it several times a day, and then how have you seen any of that verse a reality in your life? Because God's word will transform us. So it will form us into being courageous men and women for God. Lord Jesus, thank you for your scripture. Thank you for the truth of it, for the beauty of it, for the strength of it. Thank you, God, that you did not leave us to wander or wonder about who you are, but you have given us scripture so that we may know who you are. And so, God, as a church family, may we find ourselves going deeper, knowing you more, and living that out as transformed men and women for the sake of others. So thank you again, God, for the richness of what you've given us. And I pray in the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you, and I'll see you next week.